Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome. I am Heather Cho. I'm excited and grateful to be here with you in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group as we stream our Thriving Marriage podcast live. Today, we're talking about how to turn an unwilling spouse into a willing spouse, how to take a spouse that is completely checked out, doesn't want to work on things, and encourage them to be willing to give the relationship a try and be willing to work on it with you. So leave a comment if you can see and hear me okay as you're watching me live. I always appreciate the feedback and let me know what you are going through with your marriage right now. Is your spouse willing to work on the marriage with you? Are they not? What has happened and what has caused things to change or shift for you? All right, and now I'm gonna do our client win of the week. Let me pull it up really quickly. And this one comes from an anonymous person. She is one of our clients. And she said, I wanted to share some encouragement to you all to please don't forget to work on this program. I'm 3 months into reconciliation, and what I learned from this program has kept us on the reconciliation road. The ways I've learned to listen, to respond, and to solve problems in the right order has been crucial to the recovery of our relationship. Reconciliation is a hard road, and the work doesn't suddenly stop when reconciliation begins. Please make the most of what you have here. It'll make a difference regardless of your relationship outcome. And what I really love about what she shares here is to solve problems in the right order. And so that's what I'm going to share with you guys today. It's all about, what do you do when your spouse wants out? One of the biggest mistakes that you can make is solving problems in the wrong order. So first I'm going to talk about what not to do, and then I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm actually going to go to some of the questions that I've seen posted over in the Facebook group over the holidays, and Happy New Year, by the way. And I hope that this is a truly prosperous, healthy, and happy year for you and your family, and a successful one for your marriage. All right, so let's go into what most people do. What most people do when their spouse pulls out is usually go into freakout mode, right? It's terrifying when your spouse says, I don't want to work on this. I don't want to be with you. I'm in love with someone else. Maybe I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And if that's what you're hearing from your spouse, leave a comment, because we'll share with you exactly how to address that situation in depth, specific to you. So when you're in freakout mode, what happens is you start to go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. And it's just a biological response that happens, and it happens to all of us. And it clouds our thinking. It makes us very stressed, hard to sleep, hard to concentrate at work, hard to think about anything else. And sometimes it just feels like everything is falling apart, right? And when we're in this state, our reasoning part of our brain is almost completely turned off. There's like very little blood flow to that part of our brain at all. And we tend to react out of instinct. We tend to behave in very low value type ways. It's all about ourself. And we go into what we call our push versus pull. If you guys have heard this before, it's always important to check in. Am I doing any of these behaviors? Because like 95, 99% of the time when people come to us, they're doing at least one of these at some level. So it's really, really common to make these mistakes, but we're gonna show you why they're a mistake and how they're gonna have your spouse not wanna work on things even more with you. So the first one is demanding that they work on a relationship with you. You need to go to counseling. You need to change. You need to end the affair. You need to do this for the kids. You need to honor your marriage vows, right? And we make these demands of our partner. We say, you need to change so that I can feel better. You need to change so that we can go back to the way things were. And the problem is, if they're already completely checked out, well, what do you do when you've already made up your mind about something and someone tells you, you have to do this, right? What do? You dig your heels in even more, right? I know I do. My husband can attest to the same thing, right? And so, if they're going to be digging their heels in even more, it's not going to create an opportunity for them to want to come back to you. They're going to become even more unwilling to work on things. And what you're really signaling here to them when they're saying, I'm done, I want out, I am not willing to work on things, and you're saying, you have to, is to them, they are not feeling heard. They're not feeling understood. They're not feeling like you are respecting their desires. Now, I understand that you probably feel the very much same way. All right. And we'll go into what to do about that in the next part of this training together. So do not make the mistake of making demands that your spouse work on things with you. The second one is going into manipulation. And as we know, this can look very subtle or it can look like really upfront, bold types of manipulation. So the more upfront, bold types of manipulation would be like making threats, like I'm going to take the kids from you, or I'm going to ruin your credit, or if you go be with that person, then I'm going to go be with whoever I want to be with and do whatever I want to do. Right? And we make kind of like these threats to hope that they'll come back to us. The more subtle forms of manipulation can come about a little more passive aggressively. We might pretend that someone is talking to us on social media, or we might pretend that a coworker is interested in us to try to get our spouse jealous. Like these are ugly things that we do, but we do them, right? Let's just be honest about it. And we try to like manipulate our spouse. Sometimes we'll give them the silent treatment so that they'll want to talk to us, or like we do these different mind game type things. So if you're doing any mind games, what you're trying to do is manipulate your spouse's behavior to the one that you want. The problem is that no one ever wants to be manipulated. And the other problem is that you actually don't want your spouse to come back just because you manipulated them, right? I know how scary and how desperate it must feel. And I can relate when your spouse is pulling away, right? Not to the point of divorce for me, but in emotional reasons and other things. And so we clam up and we are like desperate to try to get them back. And so sometimes we act in these low value instinctual behaviors, right? But what happens is if they even came back to you right now, just because you manipulated them, is that a healthy, sure foundation? And is that going to provide good, lasting results for your relationship long term? Right? Just think about it for a little bit. And then the other one is begging, pleading, manipulating, right? So we talk about the manipulating. Now let's go into begging and pleading. So begging and pleading and acting out of desperation is like, please don't go. Please don't leave. Please, 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 please. I'm begging you. Give me another chance. And I'll do anything, right? And how many times do we tell our spouse that? Why this doesn't work is because it does not feel safe to your partner when you are coming at them with so much fear and so much desperation. Again, it's all about you, and you're not hearing them, you're not trying to understand where they're coming from, and you're not respecting their decisions. Okay. And then the last thing is freezing and doing nothing out of fear. Sometimes we don't know what to say, and we're so afraid to say what we really think or how we really feel, or we're afraid of saying the wrong thing that we end up doing nothing and we freeze out of fear. So let me know in the comments which one of these are you in. What kind of the choices are you making right now with your spouse? Are you in any of these kind of push methods where you're trying to push them to come back to you? Okay. And if so, remember, it's very normal. It's very natural response. But what happens is that it only pushes your spouse further away from you. And what we help our clients do is to draw their spouse back to them like a magnet so that they want to work on the marriage with you. They are willing to work on things with you and they want to be with you. And commitment, deeper levels of trust, intimacy, and connection are the outcome. All right. So that's what not to do. And I was just sharing that with one of our group members here. And I'm going to go to his question here. He said, I lost it. Shoot. I had saved it on my screen and now I don't know where it went. My apologies. I thought I had it all ready to go. I think I've got it. Here we go. All right. Okay. I need some advice here. He says, my wife and I have been separated for 2.5 years or so, and she had another boyfriend for most of the time. We have been split. She was living with him, but recently they split, and she has since moved all her stuff back in over here at our place. She stays here and between our oldest daughter's house. What do I do to win her back? Or how do I take all this? I enjoy having her here and would love to try to work things out. And what I had shared with him is that this is a highly crucial time if you're wanting to get back together with her and you want to make sure that you're avoiding any of those push behaviors, right? Pushing for commitment or connection too soon. This is all about solving problems in the right order. Just like our client said at the beginning, she said it was so helpful to learn what behaviors were the right ones to do and what problems to solve in the right order. In our PATH method, PATH starts with hitting the pause button, having them no longer pull away from you anymore. Now, that does not mean that they're fully committed and coming back to you. It just simply means that they stop actively moving towards divorce or moving towards another person. It's like right now you're like a train and the train is heading towards the cliff. Okay. You've got all this momentum going. We cannot slow that momentum down and immediately turn it to go in the other direction, which is back in a healthy manner to you, right? We have to hit the brakes and slow down the momentum of that train before we can get it to change directions. Make sense? And that is why it's so vital that you start with hitting the pause button. After you hit the pause button, now they can start to take some steps towards you, which is our step two. But step three and step four, which are connection and commitment, are the ones that most people push for right off the bat. Their spouse is pulling away, and they go into all those behaviors we talked about. Hey, come back to me. Hey, let's work on our relationship. Hey, let's go to counseling together. You know, come back to me. And I'm begging you and pleading you, manipulating, demanding, or I'm freezing, right? You want that connection. You want that commitment right off the bat. But if you push for that too soon, it's going to backfire and it's only going to have them pull further away from you. All right. So what we want to do is make sure that we are listening to our spouse, that we are understanding where they are coming from, and that we communicate that I see that this is true for you, and I see that this is where you are at, so that they aren't telling a further negative story about us, that you're not listening, you don't care what I want, and so I'm just done. Like, I'm even more out of it. I'm telling you I'm leaving, and you're like begging me to come back. You're not even listening to what I'm wanting, right? So becoming a safe place for them to share is going to increase their willingness to want to work on the relationship with you. In our last podcast episode before the holidays, Mark and I had shared, you know, how to increase commitment and how to have healthy levels of commitment in your relationship. And we spoke a lot more to an already healthy situation. And so we had heard a lot of feedback from you guys sharing how you wanted us to go deep into, well, what do I do when my spouse is completely checked out and not willing to work on things? And so we're going to go deeper into that with you guys right now. So we know that any of those behaviors are only going to push your spouse further away. It's only going to increase the momentum of the train towards the cliff. And that's not what we want, right? So it's really important that we do that pull method, which is all about drawing them back to you naturally like a magnet, creating safety in the relationship. One of the biggest things that we do as we're hitting the pause button, having them start to take steps towards you, is reducing the tension. And a lot of that honestly comes by simply stop doing all the things that are damaging the relationship anymore. And you actually may not realize what some of those are. You may have an idea of what some of them are, but you may not even realize that some of the things that you're doing are inadvertently or unintentionally actually pushing them further away and could be damaging the relationship more. And that's why we come and help you from the outside perspective to see, okay, here's the things that are actually not working here, and here's what you want to do instead. So we stop giving them any more reason to rebel against us and against the marriage. That's going to help give them the ability to hit the pause button. Then the other thing that we do, in addition to reducing the tension, stopping the damage, is giving space. Now with this one, we got to be very careful in what we're actually meaning. What I mean by giving space doesn't necessarily mean physical space, although sometimes it can. That's a case-by-case situation. We don't blatantly say separation or no contact rule. We actually disagree with those kind of methods. They're very ineffective. But what I mean is giving them space, like breathing room, that you're not constantly demanding that they work on things. You're not coming at them with all this desperation. You're not giving them the silent treatment anymore. You're not doing any of those manipulative types of behaviors. So when you take the pressure off the relationship, then it gives them the feeling that they have the space that they need to no longer pull away anymore. Okay. That's what we call, you know, hitting that, what's the word? The break. You can tell it's holidays and I'm just getting back in a groove of things. We want to hit the brakes with our spouse, right? And so that's what's going to help us get there. So I'm not seeing any comments coming in. Can you guys see and hear me okay? Maybe it's just the settings. I don't know. Sometimes as I'm streaming live, I'm not seeing any comments, but let me see if anything has come in. So if you guys can see and hear me okay, please let me know. Let me know any comments that you guys have, any questions that you have, and I'll go deeper into that with you guys together. All right. Now, the other element after we have created some safety, we reduced the tension, we've stopped the damaging behaviors, we've created some space, is to increase understanding. And this is where you're going to show your spouse, I'm actually interested in where you're coming from. And that's going to shift things from the instinct of it's all about me and everything for me and protecting myself and my future and my heart, right? To I want to understand you and where you're coming from. In PATH, we used to call this step perspective because it is really important to gain perspective into what your spouse is thinking and how they're feeling and what's going on inside of them. As you increase understanding, that is going to help them to realize that things are different about you and that it's safe to share things with you. You'll create that safety in the relationship and they will naturally want to build more connection into the relationship. And that's a really important dynamic when you get there. All right. And we make sure we do that correctly. All right. Now I'm going to go to a different question here because I wanted to show some real examples from people in our Thriving Marriage group that are going through these things right now so that you can apply this to your situation and show you how this actually works. Okay. All right. Many, many good questions here. I'm going to go to one of the top ones that I really wanted to talk about here. And if you're not a member of the Thriving Marriage Group, encourage you guys to join. We also have our 60-second plan group, which is amazing. It's just new and growing. All right. This is a really good question. Okay. So this one comes from a member. So I've been able to get my wife to hit the pause button and even at times take some steps towards me. But it's been a teeter-totter stage for about 3 to 4 months. She just seems like she will never really be attracted to me again or return feelings. We can't get beyond this stage and I don't know what to do, okay? So this is a really great question and I can tell that this member has really been listening to us and applying what we teach here because he's talking about the pause button. In fact, he has had his wife hit the pause button. So kudos to you. Great job. Most people don't get there because they don't work with us and they don't know how, but you did it. You're following our method and it works, right? So that's a huge thing to celebrate right there. So I just want to say really good job. And then even sometimes she takes steps towards me. So he's in step two. And we also often call this the teeter-totter stage where they're kind of warm towards you for a little bit and they're willing to work on things and then they pull away. Maybe you have a great conversation and the next 2 days you like don't hear from them at all. Or maybe you go on a date and then it's fine and then there's a big blow up, right? Or maybe they like allude to something working out in the future and then suddenly they pull away and you think that they're talking to their affair partner again, right? And so it's kind of this hot, cold, on, off again situation. It's like one step forward, two steps back. We call it the teeter-totter effect because it's kind of like up, down, up, down, up, down. And it's actually really normal and it can be very frustrating to go through, but we try to help you guys see that it's actually a sign of progress because it means they're not completely done. It means they're not completely checked out. It means that there's amazing opportunity for you to continue to develop the relationship and reconnect with them and reconcile fully. So my encouragement here is that they are willing to talk with you. They are willing to spend time with you. They're even willing to take some steps towards you, but there are still things that are going on. And I don't know what they are based on just a simple post that are preventing them from building those deeper levels of attraction, which is step three, right? And to return those romantic feelings and the feelings of love and eventually the feelings of commitment where she's going to give you her heart fully again, right? And so those underlying issues need to be addressed. They need to be resolved. Perhaps there are lingering behaviors that are still damaging the relationship. Perhaps they're not because you have hit the pause button and they're continuing to take steps towards you. If those negative behaviors have stopped, that's really good. If you and your personal relationship are listening to this and you realize, oh, there are still some damaging or negative behaviors going on, then you definitely need to go back to step one and stop those, right? We've got to stop the damage. And then from there, you need to understand that those underlying issues can often be that there is a story or narrative that they have going on about you. So if the behavior stopped, but they're still holding on to the old story, they're still holding on to past pain, that is why we have the PATH process, right? Is to help your spouse let go of their old story and their old beliefs about you, and to heal past pain and be willing to see the new you, to see you, not really the new you, it's actually who you already are, who you really are, and to accept you for who you really are and to love you for who you really are. Okay. And so there are some barriers there that I imagine based off reading this that are in her mind about you and about the past. And these stories that our spouse has and that we have too are built up over the past weeks, months, sometimes years, even decades sometimes, right? And so it's so important that we uncover what their story is, because their story is like a defense mechanism. It's something there that's meant to protect them from some kind of pain or to justify what they're doing so they don't feel so guilty about it. Usually though, it's a defense mechanism of some kind. They felt hurt, they felt betrayed, they felt trust was broken, they felt uncared for, they felt like you didn't respect them in some way. And so now they have this story as like a shield to protect them from any more hurt. And now what we need to do, our job now, as you're going from step two to step three, is to show them the new you, or the real you, as I really like to call it, right? And to change that story or belief that they have about you so they can see you with fresh eyes. And oftentimes what we do here is what Mark calls home messages. In fact, I know we talked about it last time in the commitment podcast episode that we did. So go ahead and check that out if you haven't yet. But home messages is where you start to tell a new story. It's better than just an affirmation, although it is kind of an affirmation. It's more like an action demonstrating the new behavior of what you want them to see in you and you want them to see in the relationship, followed up with words, okay, that affirm the action and start to create a new story in their mind over time. All right. So I'll give maybe an example of what this could look like. Now, again, I don't know this specific person's situation, so I'm just going to give a generic example. Okay. So let's say that she says, "You do not emotionally support me. And I've been feeling alone for years. And I feel like anytime I try to share, you just are dismissive or checked out. Like you don't listen to me. You don't really pay attention. And I do not feel emotionally supported by you. And therefore I don't love you anymore. And I want out," right? Well, now she went from that kind of a place to hitting the pause button. And now she's like starting to consider the possibility of being happy with you, right? Like she's kind of going back and forth on being with you, the teeter-totter effect, but it's scary because she's afraid. What if it happens again? What if he's only doing this to try to get me back? Like those are often thoughts that your spouses are probably thinking. Now, it could be different for you. Again, this is just a generic example I'm making up on the spot, but I've heard this so many times. So they're often thinking like, if I come back to you, are you just going to go back to the way that it was before? And I'm not going to be happy and I don't want that. So maybe it's better for me to go over here or be with this other person, or just be on my own. Like, maybe this is so hurtful. I just feel like I need to be on my own and I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. Okay. So those are some of the things that are going on inside their head. And what you can do now at this stage in this hypothetical situation, right, is to demonstrate to her that you are emotionally supportive and that you are there for her, that this isn't a manipulation tactic to try to get her back. And that really comes down to a lot of understanding and taking the pressure off and saying, I just want to support you no matter what happens in the relationship. Regardless of where we go from here, I'm trying to be a better person. So I'd really like to understand where you're coming from. I'd really like to support you because I imagine this is really hard for you. It's hard for me too. And it's hard for the kids. And I would like to be more emotionally supportive. So you see, and then you demonstrate as they are expressing something that you are supportive of them with no agenda other than to simply understand and be that. And then as you are understanding and you listen to her and you show her, I'm listening to you now. I'm not on my phone. I'm not checked out or whatever the behavior was before. I'm truly listening. I'm not jumping in. I'm not getting defensive. I'm not arguing. I'm not building more tension into it, right? So she will see, oh, he is really listening to me now. He is really understanding. And after that, you'll say, it felt really good for you to share that with me. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to become more emotionally supportive of you and to learn how to be emotionally supportive. And as you continue to go over the next days and weeks, right, you continue to come back to that home message of, I want to be emotionally supportive of you. I am being emotionally supportive of you. I am striving to be emotionally supportive of you, right? And you don't do it like obnoxiously or unnaturally, but as it comes up, you just kind of reiterate the message that you want them to know and to feel about you. And over time, this new story will replace the old story that they had. Why? Because they actually want that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so unhappy that they don't have it. And so when you start to demonstrate it, you actually have amazing opportunity here to reconnect with them and to help them let that old story go so that they can see you for who you really are. They can see you with fresh eyes, right? And they can believe that this is now true of you and you create an entirely new reality. All right. So that is the process here, is really first uncovering, are there any lingering damaging issues still going on that are preventing them from letting this go, preventing a deeper level of connection, preventing them from being willing to work on things with me? Okay. And if there are, then I need to change those, right? If you keep doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same results. And often just by stopping doing the things that are hurting, so much progress is made. It's unbelievable. And then you start to do just a few new things in a new way, and it's really going to get their attention. And you solidify those in their mind and in their heart over time with consistency, and they will believe the new story about you. You create a whole new relationship together. Okay. They become willing to work on things. Willingness comes from a sense of trust, right? If we're willing to give someone a chance, if we're willing to have a conversation, there's an element of, I trust you to have this conversation. I trust you to work on this relationship. I trust you to go on that date. I trust you to approach this subject, right? And if they don't have that right now, we need to understand what is preventing that level of trust. Okay. So those are the suggestions there, is stopping the damage, uncovering what those underlying issues are. What is the story or the narrative that they're telling about you that's preventing them from having more willingness to go further in the relationship with you? And then three, reiterating, creating a new story through home messages, which Mark Johnston, the head marriage coach here, my partner, created. And it's incredible. It's incredibly effective. And you guys know this that have tried it and seen the results yourself. I use it in my marriage all the time. And it's a beautiful thing because we are creators. You guys have to decide where you want to go. You cannot leave it all in your spouse's hands. You cannot just say, oh, they want out. Oh, that's it. There's nothing I can do. That is not, you know, you cannot be further from the truth. You need to empower yourself and know that you have the opportunity to influence this relationship, not to control or change the other person, but to create together the relationship that you want to have. You're 50% of the equation. Okay. Now, the final part that I wanted to touch on here, as far as like the teeter-totter effect and how to have your spouse be more willing to go to the next level of a deeper level of, you know, connection, and you talked about even attraction, right? Is really to focus yourself. Like, this is your job. I want you to own your own choices here and step into your own empowerment. And this is true for every single one of us, okay? In all aspects of life, but especially concerning your relationship, is to focus more on what you're desiring to create than what you're trying to avoid. I just literally wrote this down like an hour ago as I was meeting with my mentor, and he said that. So this goes off to Daniel Adams. He said, focus more on what you're desiring to create than what you're trying to avoid. And I thought, how profound, because most of the people I talk about are so fixated on the things that they want to avoid. They want to avoid divorce. They want to avoid broken hearts. They want to avoid them going out with their affair partner. They want to avoid them never getting beyond the stage. Like, that's what you just talked about. And you don't know what to do. And you're focused on everything that you don't want. When, you know, what you focus on grows, right? And so that's more than just like some mumbo jumbo. There's actually science behind that. But what you focus on grows, because your attention and your energy and your efforts go into that thing. In NASCAR race car driving, I guess, and the training that they do, they teach their students not to look at the wall, their drivers, right? Because if they look at the wall, because they're afraid to hit the wall, like, wall is death when you're driving at those kind of speeds. So you cannot focus on the wall. If you do, you're going to steer right into the wall. What you want to do is focus on where you are going and what you want to create. So focus more on what you're desiring than what the thing is that you're trying to avoid. All right. Create that home message, create that story, that narrative about the relationship that you want, and back it up by action. All right. So that is going to help your spouse be more willing to want to work on things with you. As you stop the damage, as you try to understand where they're really coming from, as you resolve the deeper issues underneath the surface, and as you create safety in the relationship and a new relationship that you both really want to have. All right. All right, I got a question here in the chat from Lane. Hi, Lane. Hi, Donovan. Absolutely. So what's the best way to create more connection? So that's a great question, but it's really, really broad. So if you want to give me your specific situation so I can help you understand what to do with where you're at and how to create more connection, that would be awesome. All right, I'm going to go to another question that I got here in the group. All right. I did see Donovan's question. And now that you're on, if you're still on, I'll ask you a question about it, because I was a little confused. So Donovan asked earlier, what course of action do you take if there's already another man involved with your former partner? I'm afraid of them getting used, and I already know I'm the better man. But do you confront them? Do you ignore it? Advice, please, because we had been together for 13 years. And this fling can't be more than a few months at most. So Donovan, question for you. When you're saying, I'm afraid of them getting used, I'm assuming that you're saying your former partner, are you still in contact with them? Are you married or not? Are you fully divorced, right? What's going on with that? And you're wanting to get back together with them is what I'm assuming from this question. And so if you can answer some of those in the chat while I'm going on to the next one, then I can come back to it. Okay. Awesome. All right. Another great question here. Me and my husband seem to struggle with communication. Every time we get into a fight, there's often no resolvent. We will take space. One of us will run errands or go in the other room for a couple hours and then just end up not speaking to each other all day, sometimes leading into the next day. We both seem to want to stand our ground. No one wants to give in or apologize. I'm trying to get my point across to him by showing him I'm not okay with his behavior and don't want to be the one to break the ice. Otherwise, he'll think it's okay to do it again. And he is so stubborn that he'd rather keep silent than try to repair the fight. Usually a day or two will go by and we will slowly start talking again, and it just gets brushed under the rug. All right. And so it goes on a little bit about how he snaps so easily, and then she puts her foot down and says, don't speak to me that way. But he'll say, I've already answered your question. Don't ask me the same question over and over. It's annoying. Okay. This has been an issue in our relationship, but I feel like lately it's gotten worse and he just doesn't have any patience. I'm not sure how to deal with this. All right. And so advice here, this doesn't feel healthy right now. She says, I don't know who else to ask. I'm just struggling with this. Awesome. Yeah. And so this right here is almost the narrative of my relationship like 7 or 8 years ago. All right. And so this is not on the verge of divorce type of situation. However, these are the issues that if not handled correctly, if you don't learn how to open up communication, how to resolve these issues, will lead to that more often than not, right? You can see where it's going to go in the next 3, 5, 10 years if nothing changes, right? The distance is only going to grow more between you. The tension is going to grow more between you. And you're going to go into what I call an intimacy withdrawal cycle, where you don't feel understood. You don't feel heard. You don't feel like he's apologizing or changing. So you're going to withdraw from him in some way. It might be physically. You're not going to want to touch him. It might be emotionally. You guys are already doing this right now. You're withdrawing from each other for several days at a time, and never really coming around to address the issue again or to resolve it. So then as you withdraw, you know, even if it's sex or if it's connection, if it's talking to him in some way, then he's going to feel that and he's going to withdraw even more. And then you're going to withdraw even more and more and more and more and more until you get to the point where one of you is done, right? Or maybe both of you are done and you're both going to be really unhappy with the whole situation, right? We can see where this is going. And I want you to know, and everyone here, that it's really not your fault. I'm not saying you don't have accountability here, but what I am saying is that we are not taught how to have a healthy, functional relationship. We are not taught it. And if you're not taught how to do something, how can you be expected to do it right? Right? If I am not taught how to speak Spanish and I just like pick up on the few words that I heard and go to Mexico and try to communicate, I'm going to fail miserably. Agreed? And so because you are not taught, give yourself some grace, because it is not taught to you in, you know, the home that you usually grow up in. It's not modeled to you by your friends or your family members. They don't have healthy, functional relationships. It's not modeled in our society or our culture. We're not taught these things in school. Like, there is no manual that you're given, like, here's how to have a happy marriage, right? And so the good news is, though, is that even though they're not taught, we are here to change that, right? That is what High Thrive's mission, my personal mission, is all about, is helping save over 1 million marriages. Because you can learn these skills. You can learn how to communicate. Right now, what you're doing, my friend, is you're dancing in what we call the drama triangle. Right now, the drama triangle is ruling your relationship. I'm not going to go super deep into that, but the drama triangle, in short, you can go and watch another podcast episode. We have several on them on the drama triangle, like how to reduce tension and drama. I'll put it in the links in the comment below. Okay. Basically, though, you've got the victim, you've got the persecutor, and you've got the hero. And right now, he's, and from what I read here, he's acting as the persecutor. He's engaging in some really negative behaviors that you don't appreciate. And then you ask him to stop. And then he gets even more upset. So you're the victim because he's persecuting you in this case, right? And then neither of you wants to go to hero and rescue the relationship and try to restore things. So you're just kind of dancing round and round in this little tiny triangle, okay? That's where most relationships live. You're either in the hero mode, you're trying to fix things, you're trying to work on things, you're trying to make things better, you're trying to stop the persecutor, you're trying to tell him, hey, cut it out, like leave the victim alone, right? Like, this isn't good. All right, that's what the hero does. But the problem with the hero role is that eventually the hero gets burnt out because they're tired of fixing everything for everyone. And eventually they say, no one's helping me. And they'll either turn to victim, like, oh, what was me? No one ever helps me. Or they'll say, I've had it enough. And they'll go to persecutor and they'll say, this is how it's going to be. Boom. Like, they've laid down the law. My will is done, right? That's what the persecutor does, saying this is my way and this is how things are going to be. And they'll manipulate, and all the different roles are actually a form of manipulation, because you're trying to manipulate what the other person's behavior is. And these are things that we learn from our parents, from others, from society. And it's modeled in every single like drama show out there, right? But it's never what leads to a healthy, functional relationship. So we have to learn how to get out of that, how to address the issues that are there that need to be addressed in a healthy manner. One of the things that we do is to help you have effective conversations. And that can look like framing the conversation beforehand. So it's not just, I think I read that you do it like sometimes in the car, right? It's you're running errand. Okay, that's how you cool off. Well, anyway, wherever you are, is that it's just kind of happening in the moment, right? It's just like a responsive type thing. And when you frame the call, you're actually coming back to the conversation at agreed upon time, and you're setting expectations around the conversation so that it is a place of safety where issues are addressed in a healthy and respectful manner. And any of the damaging behaviors, any of the drama triangle behaviors are not allowed. And if you need more help with that, I encourage you to get outside help, because often a mediator or a coach like us, like here at High Thrive, will help you on how to have those kind of conversations. Because right now he's not willing to talk about things. He's willing to throw it back in your face and make it even more difficult for you to even approach the subject, is what I'm gathering here, right? So we want to reduce that tension. We want to eliminate the negative behaviors. We want to create healthy boundaries around how to solve issues, how to address when, you know, this behavior that you did really hurt my feelings and I would like to repair it, because what I want, remember, focus more on what you want and what you desire. What I want is for us to be kind and to be respectful of each other. I want to feel like I have a voice. I want to feel like we're a team and we work through our problems, that we don't just sweep them under the rug and ignore them. And I want to feel safe and happy and connected in the relationship. What would you like to see in the relationship? What are the things that are important to you? What do you value? What would you like to create going forward? And then what happens is now you're no longer in the drama triangle, because you're taking accountability for your part and you're going to be creative, creating the relationship that you want. Remember, focusing more on the things that you desire rather than the things you want to avoid. Okay. And when you're a creator, you're no longer in the drama triangle, and you can work together as a team, which is the next part of getting out of the drama triangle, with collaboration. You're working together now, and now it's you two together against an issue. Instead of you and him against each other, it's you two against this issue. Much more powerful, healthy, harmonious place to be. Issues are always going to come. They always are. So we have to learn how to repair the relationship when damage has been done. We need to know how to address the issues, how to work together and solve them as a team. All right. Gottman talks a lot about that. John Gottman, powerful, you know, amazing researcher, talks about the five things it takes and repair and heal and be able to solve and address issues are at the very top of his list and the top of our list too, because it's important. So as you do that, and as you create more health and function in the relationship, they will be more willing to work on things together with you, because it actually works and you're actually solving things instead of sweeping them under the rug and having more and more of that intimacy withdrawal. Okay. All right. I'm going to go back here to the chat. I don't see any more questions from Donovan, so maybe he got off. Darn, I was hoping to get a little more clarity there. I would love to message you or talk with you over in the Facebook group. All right, Stuart, is there any hope for a relationship with someone with bipolar disorder? I've tried everything, but I feel it just makes things worse. So, Stuart, the short answer is yes, with some qualifications. Of course it is. And I know people personally with this disorder, and I understand how dysfunctional it can be. At the same time, to give them grace that this is something that is a disorder, right? It is like having a disease, right? It's like having cancer or something. It's a disease of the brain and it's not functioning at its best self, right? And so I understand that this can be really, really hard. It really depends a lot on their willingness to get help, professional help, medication if needed, and their willingness to work on things as well. And so there's things that you can do to create healthy boundaries or even around their different behaviors that they do, right? To say, this is okay and this is not okay. The worst thing to do is just kind of coddle it or ignore it or get explosive or blaming and all those things, right? That's only going to create more dysfunction. So we can guide you on that. We do not specifically work with people with bipolar disorder, but we have clients whose spouses or even themselves do, but it does require an extra level of expert guidance, of course, right? So if you feel like everything you do just makes things worse, then it would be wise to have a conversation about what those things are, why are they making it worse, and what can you really do in your situation? Okay. Going to go back to Lane's comment earlier about what's the best way to create more connection. If your spouse doesn't want to share information or even deflect discussions and be abrasive, how do we break down walls and create connection? So Lane, one of the most important things to understand is that if they're not wanting to share information, if they're deflecting, right? If they're even abrasive, right? Like you mentioned, they've got these walls. There is something that's driving that behavior. There's a reason why they are doing those things. One of the greatest challenges of everyone I talk to that's working on their marriage is that we tend to focus on the behaviors that are causing us the pain. Okay, we tend to focus on the affair that they're having, or why he is being, you know, reluctant with sharing information, why he's deflecting discussions, why he's being abrasive, because that is what is hurting us, is their behavior. But what we do as coaches is help you go beneath that, because that is actually the symptom. Okay, so you're wanting to create more connection. You're wanting to kind of break down those walls. Well, the first thing we got to do is A, like go back to the PATH method, right? We're going to hit the pause button. We're going to take the pressure off, because right now when someone has a lot of walls up, they have them up again for a reason. So we're going to take the pressure off and create some safety and understanding in the relationship. Then from there, after that problem has been solved in the right order, okay, make sure we always solve them in the right order, then we're going to look at the underlying reason of why this is actually happening. What is driving that behavior? What is driving secrecy, deflecting, abrasiveness? What is going on underneath that? And whenever we see these kind of behaviors, almost always there's a deep fear at the root of it. They're afraid of something. And so that is what we will help you uncover, because I don't know what it is. I can't just say it because it's so specific to you and your spouse, right? And so really going deep into that to understand what that is. And then when we understand what that is, then we can address it properly. And that is how you're going to start to break down the walls. The first thing though I can tell right off the bat is you're definitely going to want to take the pressure off, increase understanding, make things safer. That is going to get you much further than trying to push things, trying to press for things, trying to resolve the issue right now. That would be the wrong order. And that's what most people do. So you want to take the pressure off, increase some understanding, and then talk to an expert that can uncover exactly what's driving that behavior. All right. If you guys want our help with that, go ahead and leave a comment, say me in the comments below, and we will send you the 4 steps on how to get your spouse become more willing to save the relationship and work on the relationship with you. All right, Lane asks here, what's the best way to take the pressure off? So that's going to be anything right now that's pushing them further away, right? That's going to be demanding. It's going to be the manipulating. It's going to be the begging, pleading, desperation, or the freeze mode. Those are the main things that happens that are putting pressure on the relationship, right? That is what we call the push method, right? So we want to stop any of those things and kind of back off from anything that you're doing that is causing his walls to go back up. That I don't know specifically for you what that could be. What I see from a lot of people though, that might be checking on his phone, following up on where he's at, because you're insecure. You don't know why he's hiding things, and you don't know why he's being deflective, and you don't know why he's being abrasive. And so oftentimes we'll try to like find out. That's going to only cause the walls to go up more. And pressuring him to work on things, pressuring him to like solve the issues, pressuring him to do anything at this point is only going to push him further away and cause the walls to go up higher. So taking the pressure off is going to be stopping any of those behaviors, increasing understanding, right? I understand that you need some space here. I understand that you don't want to talk about this. I can respect that. Can you feel the difference when you approach your spouse that way versus maybe how you have been? right? I can see that for you, this is something you're not comfortable with, and I can respect that. And you just kind of like take the pressure off, right? You can feel it when you do it. You actually feel better in a lot of ways, right? And they will feel it. And they will feel like they have space now that they don't have to keep trying to get away further from you, okay? All right, reading a question here. Gotcha. Don't specifically pressure to work on things because she has been against working from beginning of process. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so whatever it is that the behavior is that's causing the walls to come up, take the pressure off of that. And anytime that you do have interactions, increase some level of understanding, okay? All right, awesome. So thank you guys for joining me today. I honor you. When your relationship is struggling, I know how challenging that can be. But again, I really want you to focus more on where you want to go. Focus on what you are desiring more than what you are avoiding. When you make that kind of shift, you will find an inner sense of calmness, even in the midst of this storm, right? And as you go through all those different phases, your spouse pulling away, to them hitting the pause button, to them taking steps towards you, but going into the teeter-totter mode, right? You will feel a level of calmness because you are now fixated on where you want to go rather than looking at the wall and where you don't want to go. That's going to lead to a crash, right? So choose to empower yourself. Choose to see that you have the ability to create the relationship that you want. You do. No one else does. Only you get to decide that. And then be willing to explore things. Be willing to look at, okay, where might I be pushing them a little more? A little too much, you know, and where could I back off, take the pressure off and increase some understanding? How could I build a deeper level of connection with where we're at right now? How could I make things more safe for my partner? And then if you want more help with this, I encourage you to get guidance from us or another expert, but we are the ICU for marriages. Just got to say it. And we can help you guide through every single step along the way from where you are to where you really want your marriage to be. As you guys know, we've helped tens of thousands of couples now to save their marriage. But this is important for you and your marriage alone, because I know how sacred and important really your relationship is and how sacred and important marriage is. So focus on where you want to go and decide where you want to go. And when you do, the way, the how will show up. Your most important job is to focus on yourself and where you want to go. And then the rest will unfold exactly as it's meant to. So thank you guys for joining me today. And go ahead and leave a comment if you want to get our free marriage assessment call with one of us. And we will help you uncover exactly what's going on with your spouse and where you need to go from here to successfully restore your relationship so that you aren't just chasing after them. They're actually the one that's wanting to be with you, that they're chasing after you, that they're willing to work on things with you. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me, and we will see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.